The mind is a powerful magnet. Now, I want you to think of this. And as such, attracts whatever corresponds to its ruling state. Expectation dictates what that ruling state will be, and therefore governs what corresponds to the mind and is attracted into your life. Expectation can be either a blessing or a curse, but either way, it is certainly one of the most powerful unseen forces in your life. Now, why wouldn't a person expect this image to move into form? Well, there's a couple of reasons why. There's no physical evidence of it, and the old paradigm is trying to talk you out of it. When you first build the idea, it's weak. It doesn't have a lot of strength. The old paradigm's got more strength, and it starts to play games with you. Well, think about this for a moment. And that's what stops you from expecting the good that you desire. Now, since we know that, rather than let it stop us, let us take control. You know, in Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill talks about meeting Andrew Carnegie. And let me read you what he wrote here. He said the favorable break came through Carnegie. Carnegie was the one that introduced him to 500 of the world's most successful people, the old Scotsman, Andrew Carnegie. He commissioned him to write the Laws of Success, and he introduced him to the world's famous. And Napoleon Hill became intimate friends with a lot of those people. Now, he said the favorable break came through Carnegie, but what about the determination, the definiteness of purpose, and the desire to attain the goal, and the persistent effort of 25 years. It was no ordinary desire that survived disappointment, discouragement, temporary defeat, criticism, and the constant reminding of wasting of time. It was a burning desire and obsession. And that's what you want to work towards building with this new image of yourself. You've got to turn it into a burning desire. Now, how do you do that? Well, Hill said, when the idea was first planted in my mind by Mr. Carnegie, it was coaxed, nursed, and enticed to remain alive. But he said, gradually, the idea became a power under its own power, or a giant under its own power. And it coaxed, nursed, and drove me. Now, he said, ideas are like that. First, you give life, action, and guidance to the idea, and then they take a power of their own, and they sweep aside all opposition. Isn't that the truth? He goes on to say something else that's very interesting. He said, ideas are intangible forces, but they have more power than the physical brain that gave birth to them. They have the power to live on long after the physical brain that's created them has turned to dust. Now, you've got a new idea. You've got a new image of yourself, and that's what it is. It's an idea. The old paradigm is still in control. And this idea, in the beginning, has to be coaxed, nursed, and enticed just to remain alive. But he said, if you keep working with it, it'll take on a power of its own, and it'll sweep aside all opposition. Well, now, when we study this and we really understand, if I continually build this image, if I continually get emotionally involved, and I see myself as this person, and I use the William James's concept, and I act as if I am this person. Some people say that's faking it. It's not faking it. It's working in harmony with the law. And when you're doing that, to expect to become that kind of a person is the most natural thing in the world. Now, you see, expectation is a very, very powerful force. If you come down on page 31, to about the third paragraph, we say expectation can be a triggering mechanism which attracts into your life every good that you desire. However, if you do not exercise extreme caution, expectation can turn just as rapidly into a destructive, lethal enemy. I want you to pay particular attention to the conversations that go on around you tomorrow and the next day. you're going to find that most people expect what they don't want. They're actually expecting what they don't want. Now, why would they do that? Think about it for a moment. Why would people expect what they don't want? Well, the reason for it is because they've been getting it for so long, and they're letting present results control their thinking. I mean, if you keep getting the same result, let's suppose you're a student in school and you get a D in mathematics, and you keep getting every report card, you're getting a D in mathematics. This is the only natural limit for the student to expect to get a D in mathematics. How could they change that? Of course they could change it. They'd have to change the image of themselves. They'd see themselves as a straight-A student. But the old report card is going to control them. Now, we've been training ourselves since we were little children to let our present results control us. Why wouldn't we expect it? The old paradigm is playing games with our mind. And on top of that, there's no physical evidence that this image is manifesting. Now, I like the way Price Pitchett wrote about it in his little book, U Square. He said, the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Well, think of that. The absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. See, it has not moved into form yet. Think of the farmer that plants his field. Do you know the farmer can go to the bank and borrow money on the strength of a crop that no one can see? You've planted flowers or a garden, I'm sure, yourself. You expected it to grow. Why would we expect this non-physical seed? Do you know that an idea is made from exactly the same form of substance as a tulip bulb or any other kind of a seed that we see growing around us? And we've got to think this all through. We've got to see the connection between the non-physical world and the physical world. It's all connected by law, the law of vibration. Every level of vibration is referred to as a frequency. Every frequency is hooked up to the one above and the one below. The non-physical world is hooked up to the physical world. It's just the way it operates. And we've got to try and understand that. Now, when we do understand it, and we get this image right, we're going to start to understand that by holding the image in our mind, we're actually causing it to move into form. It's the way it always works. It never changes. Turn over to page 32. Now,
this is Doug Morgan, and I just want to make an observation. For all my life, and I'm pushing 70, I have had a poor image of, as far as money's concerned. I grew up in a very tight home, and your seminar has led me to think I can earn $5,000 a week. And already things are coming to me, just like you said. They're coming to my mind of how I can begin doing that. And tonight was another a piece of the puzzle. Thank you.
That is so good. You know something? Forget your age. How old would you be if you forgot your age? You see,
probably be about,
oddly enough,
40.
I was talking to my wife about this at dinner, and I was saying, you know, feelings know nothing about age. They don't know anything about distance or space or anything. And you want to, you get wound up on an idea, and like, I'm almost 70. I have a hard time believing it. I got as much energy as most people, 20. It doesn't age, you know, forget it. Just get out there and make it happen. Now, that is really great. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. One more question before we go. Don't miss this golden opportunity. You got Bob Proctor live. You don't get too many opportunities for a guy with this kind of wisdom to ask him any question at all. There is no silly question, no wrong question. It's just a question. Who wants to end the evening tonight with a question and sends us home with?
This is Gene in Minnesota.
Okay, Gene.
Hi, Gene. My question, I'm having a terrible time identifying what my real goal is, what do I really want, and I'm having a heck of a time identifying that. Also, reading the lessons, it talks about picking out six people that I admire that are successful, et cetera. I don't know six people. I don't know any of them. So I'm having trouble with that one. But the thing I'm having the biggest problem with is really identifying what do I really want. I know what
I
have.
You know something, Gene? Gene, what you want to do, first of all, the truth is you can have anything you want. But take something. It doesn't matter what it is. What kind of a car do you have?
11, 12-year-old Ford Explorer.
Okay. Would you like a new one?
Yeah, I'd like a new one.
Okay, well, set that as a goal. Now, that's not a worthy destination or anything, but it's something, and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to see how fast I can actually get in, and go and get a picture of it. Literally get a picture of it. And get a picture of yourself in it. Now, it's not necessarily to get the new car, Gene.
Uh-huh.
It's to gain a confidence in how to get things you want. Because, you see, you probably have serious doubts in your mind as if you could have what you really want. We have dreams, but we reject them.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to do this.
And what I'm going to do, I'm really going to put this process to a test. I'm going to get good at it. Do you know that you could get so good at this, Gene, that you could actually start teaching people how to identify the goals? I have.
That'd be great. I know. Some of the wisdom and things that you talk about, just as an example, just hits home so heavily when you talked about people don't want a headache, but they expect it, so they buy a large bottle of pills. It's just wisdom like that is just phenomenal. I'm just really appreciative, and I'm very happy and grateful to have this course and to be a part of this program.